At least two high schools around the Chicago area are reprinting their yearbooks. They contain photos of students making hand gestures associated with racist, white power ideology. Anti-hate organizations say incidents like these are on the rise and schools don't know how to handle them. But in Chicago, one teacher is trying to fix this. She has created a resource to help school communities spot and fight back when white nationalism creeps in. WBEZ's Odette Youssef reports.
A couple years ago, Nora Flanagan's son told her he'd found swastikas on the bathroom walls at school. He was in fifth grade.
I asked him if he wanted me to talk to the teachers or the administration, and he was horrified.
So the two of them worked out a deal.
I taught him how to remove Sharpie with an alcohol pad, and he would go in there every day and and clean swastikas off the bathroom wall with an alcohol wipe. And I said, "Why do you want to do that instead of tell the administration?" And he said, "The cleaning staff and the building engineer are African-American and Latino, and I don't want them to see it."
Flanagan really knows about this kind of thing. Growing up in the Irish-American stronghold of Beverly on Chicago's southwest side, she witnessed the rise of a neo-Nazi movement in the late 80s. She fought it then, and she fights it now as a teacher at Chicago Public Schools. Over the years, she's seen students get lost down the path of white nationalism. And yet, Flanagan regrets how she handled her son's situation.
I should have gone to the administrator. Looking back 2 years later, looking at how much worse things have become in school communities, I should have gone right to the principal. She's wonderful. But I didn't know what to do.
A spokesperson for Chicago Public Schools claimed the district tracks hate and bias incidents, but she could provide no numbers. Flanagan says hearing from other teachers, there's no question there's been a rise. And the Southern Poverty Law Center is seeing the same thing.
We're seeing them across the United States, and we're also seeing that schools really don't know quite what to do.
Maureen Costello directs the SPLC's Teaching Tolerance Project. In 2016, the SPLC started surveying thousands of teachers. It asked how the 2016 election was affecting students and schools. Overwhelmingly, teachers said they witnessed an increase in incidents targeting African Americans, immigrants, Jews, Muslims, and LGBTQ people. The SPLC called it the Trump effect. Costello says schools have been treating these incidents as simple acts of bullying. They focus on identifying and punishing the offender. Costello says that's not enough.
What they don't focus on necessarily are the before and the after. And the before, of course, is where is this coming from and how have we failed to educate students about, for instance, the history of the Holocaust and the history of anti-Semitism in this country? Why haven't we educated them about the history of white supremacy and racism in this country? And then the after part is how do we heal the wounds?
This is why Nora Flanagan co-authored a toolkit. It's titled Confronting White Nationalism in Schools. A nonprofit in Oregon publishes it. The toolkit considers many ways the issue presents itself in schools. Graffiti of swastikas and slurs, hate speech online, students citing white nationalist sources in class, or even forming white student unions. Flanagan thought about all stakeholders, not just the perpetrators or their targets.
When a kid Sig Heils in the cafeteria, yes, I want to know what's going on with that kid. I absolutely want to talk to whoever he was pointing it at, but I want to talk to the kid that was sitting 50 feet away and saw it, and then it was never spoken of again.
Take the instance that Flanagan's son encountered, swastikas in the bathroom. Here's some of what the toolkit prescribes. Students, document the graffiti and report it to staff. Staff, consider providing aftercare for kids and groups that may feel targeted. Administrators, try implementing a confidential online system for students to report such incidents. The main takeaways are engage the whole school community and act fast, because Flanagan knows firsthand how scary things can get when this activity goes unchecked.
So to go all the way back to Beverly in 1989, the reason there was so much white nationalism on the far southwest side was largely because of one person, and that was Christian Piccolini. He's the reason by name that I carried a baseball bat in the trunk of my car when I was a teenager. He was the Nazi boogeyman under the bed.
I haven't heard that before. it's interesting now that, you know, Nora and I are so close and that we work together to hear her say that.
Christian Piccolini is an author and a former violent extremist.
As a teenager at 17 years old, I had semi-automatic rifles. I had ammunition.
For 8 years, Piccolini hoped and prepared for a violent white uprising. And he enlisted others to join the neo-Nazi movement.
We would go to skate parks. We would go to arcades. We would go to, you know, punk rock concerts and stand outside.
Piccolini became notorious on the Southwest side, particularly with young people who were into the punk rock scene. That's how Nora Flanagan came to know about him.
Nora and so many people were afraid because there were so many young people that were gravitating to our side. You know, it was very easy, I think, to really influence some of her friends even.
Piccolini says young people were lured in because the narrative was catchy.
We would talk about illegal aliens coming through the border. We would talk about, you know, Muslims and their religion. We would talk about, you know, refugees coming in from other countries. This was 30 years ago. We're still having these same discussions, except now what scares me is that they're coming out of the White House.
Another thing has changed, too. Piccolini says now the kids are hard to spot. Back then, youth shaved their heads, put on boots, and got the tattoos. Today, they blend in. That's what worries Nora Flanagan the most.
It scares me that there are kids exploring this, and we don't know, so we can't reach out to them. But sooner or later, they come up for air, they vocalize, they make a reference to white nationalist ideology in class, and that's what we need teachers and other members of a school community looking and listening for.
Flanagan and Piccolini say this is what makes the toolkit critical right now. It acquaints school stakeholders with the warning signs and gives them a roadmap. It's a tool that communities all over the country appear to want. Already, over 1,400 copies of the toolkit have been distributed to nearly every state and in 8 countries. Odette Youssef, WBEZ News.